and we are very pleased to have calling from Washington, Tara Kopp, who is the Pentagon Bureau Chief for Military Times. Tara, thank you so much for calling in. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks. You wrote, and your team wrote a series of articles about the number of accidents which have happened recently in the military and over really the last 5 years. There was an Apache helicopter crash this weekend. Two soldiers were killed. And you said in the past 3 weeks, six military aviation crashes have killed 16 pilots or crew. And on our show, we're always sad to read these. It seems like every week we read about a crash somewhere in the military on a flight deck in the Navy or a Marine Corps unit or Army soldier somewhere. You and Military Times have done a study of this. Tell us a bit about that, if you would.
Sure, because each one of those crashes affects us deeply, too. And so about 6 months ago, I helped lead a team of reporters really to answer the question, what did sequestration, the 2013 budget cuts, do to the military? You know, each year you hear the service chiefs go up to the Hill and talk about the state of their readiness, the state of their aircraft, how many can't fly, what sort of maintenance issues they're having. And so this was really the first time anyone mapped the data of the accidents to when sequestration took off and all of the continuing resolutions that followed. What we found is that since 2013, military aviation accidents are up 40%, and during that time frame, 133 service members have been killed in different aviation accidents.
Well, it's just horrendous, and you know, from the people we talk to, you may know we do a lot of work at West Point, and we work with New York City Fleet Week. We hear and see the impact of sequestration on training time and planning time for the military. What did you see as the impact of sequestration, which limited military budgets starting a few years ago? What has been the impact that you've seen on aviation readiness?
The biggest impact has been in maintainers and in the training, the flight hours that pilots are getting for training when they're not deployed. When the military had to make these initial 2013 cuts, they had to cut about $50 billion over a course of 10 months. And I'm sure, as you guys know, it's a much easier process to cut personnel than it is to cut weapon systems, because those are usually 3 to 5 year big term buys. They might have a fine for canceling. And so they started to cut training, they started to cut exercises. And then as our operations against the Islamic State kind of took off and we started flying patrols over the South China Sea and we sent air power to Europe in response to Russian aggression, the folks that were left back at home, they saw their training hours just dwindle. When you can't train and when there's not an aircraft available to maintain on, you lose currency. You lose the ability to be able to identify problems quickly and to react to them quickly.
Maybe we could go through each of the branches, major branches of the service that you wrote about. We tend to be a little bit Army-centric here, doing a lot at West Point. What has been some of the impact on the Army of sequestration and some of the accidents we've heard about some of the transportation helicopters, the Chinook accidents that have happened? Tell us a little bit about the impact on the Army, if you would.
Well, the Army, like the rest of the services, saw the number of accidents rise. Their percentage was actually the best of all four services. They had only a 6% rise compared to skyrocketing numbers in the Navy and the Marine Corps. The Navy had an 82% rise. The Marine Corps had an 80% rise. Part of that is because of the sheer numbers of aircraft that the Army maintains. They've got like 3,500 different types of rotary, the biggest one of those being, of course, the H-60 family. Overall, their most used helicopters, though, saw a decrease in some of the big Class A mishaps, and their safety records are actually improving. And our reporter, Jen Judson, had a sit-down with the aviation head, General Tate, and talked at length about some of the things that the Army is doing to be able to improve its safety record, to be able to kind of buy back some of the maintainers that they lost, because the Army, just like every other service, had to cut maintainers when it cut personnel. And so they actually are sitting rather pretty compared to what you see in the Navy and the Marine Corps, which is just some of the fixed-wing aircraft, particularly the Hornets. You know, they weren't meant to be flown this hard and this long. And the aircraft that were supposed to be coming online to replace them, the F-35, they're simply not ready yet. And so you've seen these older aircraft being pushed harder with less training and less experienced maintainers, and it's just a disastrous combination.
Well, we've talked about the F-35 on the show quite a bit. It's the most expensive weapons project the country has ever conducted, in the neighborhood of $400 billion. And the first are just being actually, we are going out on deployment on the USS Wasp out in the Pacific as we speak, a ship that we visited on embarkations. Is the F-35 program, the delays, or is it just the sheer amount of money that's being put into that program, taking away from the elements of perhaps of maintenance of the Hornets, as you said?
Well, I've been able to talk to maintainers who've, you know, asked not to be identified, of course. And they will tell you that the F-35 program just kind of, in some ways, and I don't want to malign the program, I realize that this is a very capable aircraft, but the amount of resources being thrown at this program in manpower and in actual money, as one maintainer put it, is just kind of sucking all the oxygen out of the room. Maintainers aren't getting to put as much attention as they need to into their other legacy aircraft.
And tell us, if you would, about the impact on the Marine Corps. There, as I mentioned, the Wasp is serving U.S. Marines, taking them out to sea, and they're very much helicopter oriented in the Marine Corps, and they're trying out the F-35s. How's the Marine Corps impacted?
The Marine Corps had an 80% jump in accidents, which was mostly Class C ground maintenance accidents. And I got to talk to the Marine Corps aviation head as well. And that's been something I really want to press in this series of articles, which you can find all of them at militarytimes.com at Aviation in Crisis. The services have really opened up. They want to talk about this. They want people to understand that if you fly something for 17 years, as hard as our country has been flying these aircraft, they just don't last forever. The Hornets, the A through D legacy Hornets that the Marine Corps maintains, they've seen accidents really, really spike in 2015 and 2016, a series of fatal accidents, and then they actually had a better year in 2017. They are now going to be getting some of the best-in-class from the Navy as the Navy moves on to more super Hornets. So the Navy is going to shed some of its best Hornets and provide those to the Marine Corps to rejuvenate, if you can use that word, some of the Marine Corps Hornet fleet.
And if you could, we just have a couple minutes left, and really appreciate talking to Military Times Pentagon Bureau Chief Tara Kopp. Tara, what about what's happening with the Air Force on accident prevention?
So the Air Force, like the rest of them, when the Air Force went through sequestration, they fired about 1,400 maintainers. And just like the Marine Corps and all the other services, they did so rather blindly. They let these maintainers go without really tracking the experience and qualifications that were walking out the door. So you now have a more junior class of maintainers that are having to learn, and you don't have as many skilled supervisors on the flight line watching them. It's not going to be just money that solves this. It's going to be time. You need these maintainers to get the years under their belt, to get the level of experience, and regrow what was lost in 2013 and in the years that followed.
And maybe in just defining a maintainer, our observation is, to put one airplane or helicopter into the air operationally takes quite a crew. What's the size of a crew to support an individual aircraft or helicopter today in the military?
Well, you'd think it would take a whole crew, but as Chief of Staff General Dave Goldfein said in his interview, when he was an F-16, an active duty F-16 pilot, he used to have a crew that would, first help him get out of the chocks, then he'd have a crew that met him at the edge of the runway, and then he would have a brand new crew at his destination. And now it's one crew member, one crew chief, who does it all, who initially takes out the chocks, then goes to the edge of the runway to take out the army pins, and then gets on a C-17 to fly ahead to meet the pilot at the destination and do it all again. It's,
wow,
a real strain on resources.
Well, Tara, we got a break, but just tell us again how listeners can read your stories at Military Times.
Go to militarytimes.com. You'll see on our homepage, Aviation in Crisis. It has all of our work. There's a lot of excellent investigative reporting by our entire team of reporters there.
Tara Kopp, the Pentagon Bureau Chief for Military Times, thank you so much for calling in. Fantastic, very important article you wrote on how safety of U.S. military's aircraft and helicopters can be improved. Hey, we hope we can call on you again.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you have a good rest of the day.
Bye-bye.